We're so glad you're here today. And if y'all noticed that Heather got saved in the middle of that course, it's because she saw this lizard that Eddie Joe put on her stand right here. So, anyway. Got to have fun in church, right? Amen. It's not even that big. I don't know what she's afraid of. So she's in the middle of that course when she realized the lizard was looking at her. And she's like, woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't we? It's great to be with our family today and have a little fun. And I was, by the way, Heather, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this week, the Lord paid Eddie Joe back. His boss threw a rope on him and hollered snake, and he liked to kill himself getting away from it. And I didn't put this on there, but I started to. I was reminded of the time he beat me with a bull rope, and I started to put that on there and just remind him that the Lord has a way of paying you back. You just don't know. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I shall repay. I had a great time watching that video. I watched it several times. It was great. So it was awesome. Hey, so good to be here today. It's so good to be with our family. I was talking to someone this week about our church, and we were just talking about really how we strive to make this like family, and that our house should be a house where family comes and has a good time, and we enjoy the presence of God together, and the worship, our time of worship, and our time of prayer, and our time of word. But what happens outside of this is just equally as important as how we connect with one another, and then we connect to the people around us, and that every heart and every person matters, and that we live our life being poured out. Everybody say poured out. And that's what God called us to do. He called us to be poured out. And you know what I find? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Come on, y'all. This section over here needs to smile. This is the smile section over here. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to pour out than it is to take in. And today I'm going to be talking about generosity. And so let me warn you ahead of time. So I'm going to be talking about your money today. You know, most pastors try to sneak up on that. I'm not going to sneak up on that. I'm going to talk about your money today. I'm going to talk about your time, your talent, and your treasure. those are gifts from God. Did you know that your time, your talent, and treasure is a gift from God? And that God gave that to you as a gift to give away. The cool part about that is it ain't yours. It's His. There's nothing more fun than going to, you know, I like to go to shop for somebody else with their credit card. Isn't that awesome? How many enjoy doing that? My kids love doing that. You know, Heather especially, she's really tight with her money. She has about 80% of everything she makes goes to the bank. But she don't have any problem spending mine. She's gifted in that. It's not a problem for her to spend my money. But she does that because I'm dad. And I like that she feels that way. It makes me feel good that she relies on me because I'm her father. And so that's not a problem. I was thinking the other day, and I'm not picking on her, I'm just using this as an example. She needs to get her wisdom tooth pulled out, and she's like, hey, I need y'all to help me get these, you know, get this dental work done, which we're going to do, by the way. We want to do that. But I was thinking to myself in a moment, I was like, she's got more money in the bank than I do, but she's coming to dad because it's dad's responsibility to help her get where she's going. Listen, there's a cool analogy here that our father loves the responsibility of taking care of his kids. It's not a problem. Everybody say it's not a problem. And he loves for us to use his credit card. Right. He's like, here's some grace that you can use. Here's some mercy that you can use. And by the way, I gave you that great job. And I gave you the opportunity to make that money so you could give it away because it's all mine. You're dismissed. You can go home now. I'm just kidding. Come on. Y'all need to lighten up this morning. When we talk about how good Daddy is to us, Oftentimes, we only talk about what comes to us. But when you really understand how good Daddy is, it's what goes through us.
Right.
It's being poured out. And that has been the heart of this house for a long time. Generosity is so much more to do than with just money. It's really what we do with everything that God puts in our life. From the day you breathe your first breath to the day you breathe your last breath, God's grace is upon your life. And he gives you time, he gives you talent, and he gives you treasure. And everything that you do with that measure of time, talent, and treasure is so important to the kingdom of God. That's why the widow's mite was just as equally important as the rich man. Because it wasn't what she had to give, the amount she had to give, it was how she gave it. And so it was equally important. So we say, well, let the rich people give, or let the poor people do this, or let the one that has more money, or let this one. Let all of us have the same opportunity. All of us have the same opportunity. I'm getting way ahead of myself. So God has helped bless us with these things, time, talent, treasure. And I added one to that, relationships. Relationships are equally as important as our time, talent, and treasure. It don't rhyme as well, but it's still part of it. So our relationships with God, with each other, is a gift from God. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 said, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that his poverty he could make you rich. God left all the riches of glory. He came to this earth and made himself to no avail so he could die on the cross so that you could be wealthy, so that you could be blessed, so that your life could be supernaturally blessed. I want you to look over at your neighbor, and I want you to say, you're supernaturally blessed. Amen. And God loves us with an amazing kind of love. God is good, and it's his nature to give. Human nature is not generous. We don't have to teach our kids to be stingy. You ever seen a little kid say, mine, mine? They learn that. I don't know where they learned the word mine, but they learned it real quick. Like, mine, mine. I'm holding that. This is mine. They'll fight for it, you know. And of course, it's cute when they're kids. We always like try to take their things from them so they'll go, mine, mine. And then when they're older, you're like, share. We kind of teach them that little thing because it's cute when they're little. But nobody has to be taught to be stingy. We're born with that. And so for us to move out of the place of being stingy into the nature of God, we have to change the way we view things and the way we live, and we take on his very nature. We take on the nature of the purpose of the kingdom. The cross is a picture of pure generosity. Generosity always costs somebody something. Could you bring that water, please? The cross always costs somebody something. I want to talk about the DNA. Everybody say DNA.
DNA.
The divine nature of the Almighty. The divine nature of the Almighty. We inherit this generous spirit from God. We have his DNA. I'm so glad that God was not stingy with grace. Aren't you glad God's not stingy with grace?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he's not stingy with mercy? I'm really glad that God's not stingy with patience. How many has God been patient with? Come on, somebody. How many you need God to stay patient with you? You're still a work in progress. You haven't completed this thing by any stretch of the imagination. And you know things about yourself that nobody knows. And you're saying, please, God, stay patient with me. I'm working on this. You're working on me. And he's generous in his ways of loving us. Because oftentimes we look at ourselves and we think, how can God love us when we know what we know about ourselves? But his grace is always so sufficient in our life. And his generosity is being poured out at all times. And he loves us with an amazing love that never runs out. He don't get to this point in his life and say, oh, well, I've run out. Sorry. I know some people feel that way. You know, like, We give up on people sometimes. We run out of love. We run out of generosity. We run out of grace for people. But God never runs out. That's the kind of love that he has. Psalms 86 and 5 says, O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Let's say that together. Lord, you are so good. I want you to say it like that. You are so good. So good. So ready to forgive. Just, I mean, you're just so ready to do it, God. And we could read that two different ways. We could say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Or we could say, Lord, you're so good. God, you're so patient with me. You're so ready to forgive me. God, your whole nature, your DNA is to love with this amazing, crazy kind of love. Right. Well, now look at the love of the Father. I'm always blown away by that. Like, how does he love us so with such crazy love? Because God is generous. I want you to think just a minute. Let's take a little moment right now and think about how, and fill in the blank. How generous has God been to you? How generous has God been to you? I'll give you a minute to think about that. So if we're living through his generosity, how much more should we be generous with what he gives us? So we're made for generosity. We were designed for this. We were made to become generous from God, our creator. We honestly were created to be generous, not by our human nature, but by the supernatural strength of the Father. So when we take on his love and we take on his heart, then we take on his DNA. How many wants the Father's DNA? Okay, three of us. That's awesome. Three of y'all want the Father. How many want the Father's DNA? How many would like to say, you know what, I know in my own nature this is not normal for me, but I want to have his nature in every aspect of my life. I want to love people like he loves. I want to give like he gives. I want to have a heart like he has. You know what? You have the potential to be have the same nature in him, because when you take on Christ and Christ lives in you, you take on his nature. Right. I was talking to someone the other day, and he was talking about how we go through life and we say, well, that's not my nature. You know, I get mad because I do this, or I have this. It's just not my nature to do that. Well, you're not supposed to have your nature. Oh, come on. Well, that's just my nature. Little attitude. Well, no, you can't say that's my nature. If you've taken on Christ, you're supposed to have his nature. Now, the truth is I'm working through some of that. Because my old man does rise up sometimes, and my old man shows up, and I have to remember that I'm not supposed to have my nature. I'm supposed to have the Father's nature. But here's one way you can get the Father's nature, is you can start practicing how you live to live like him. So how he's given to you, you just practice that by giving everything that you've got away. You give your love away. You give your heart away. So I don't want to give my heart away, because if I give my heart away, people are going to step on. Well, I don't want to help those people because I helped so-and-so one time and they just used me up. Let me tell you something. If you start helping people, you're going to get hurt. Right. It's quiet in here at this point. If you say, I'm going to be generous to people, I'm going to give my best to people, I guarantee you 100% that people are going to hurt you. Yep. It's not because people are mean or bad or ugly. It's because people are people. And they don't even mean to hurt you. We just live in a real selfish world, self-centered. And so when you give your life away, people take advantage of that. But guess what? Jesus went to the cross for us. He gave everything for us. So what are we really giving away? It's not even ours. We're using his credit card. We're giving him away. Come on, anybody here this morning? So when I do this, and now Tim talked about this a little bit last week on our panel, when I do this, it's not really me doing it. It's really Christ in me doing it. And so if there's anything that's happened in here, I'm giving Christ away. And listen, he's big enough to handle the rejection. He's big enough to handle the hurt. And I just become more generous like he is. I want the Father's DNA. I want everything that he looks like and lives like and walks like, to become part of my life. So we decided a long time ago, years ago, when Angie and I came to him, and one of the things that we had already made our mind up to do is to be generous. To be generous. And we got tested right off the bat. I mean, it didn't take us long to find out if we were really going to be generous or not. We didn't really have anything to work with, so, you know, we just came and just gave our best. And I remember that there was a situation that was here at the church when we came, and it was a situation that we really could have used the court system. We could have done this, we could have done that, but we decided that the best way to start our ministry in Hammond was to be generous with forgiveness. To let the past be the past, to forgive those who would try to wound others, and just let the past be gone. You know that forgiveness is a very generous spirit. It's saying, hey, listen, I know I could get you, I could take you out, but I'm going to let you off the hook because God's let me off the hook. So I'm going to be generous. Well, look, this person don't deserve to be forgiven. Yes, everybody deserves to be forgiven. Let me help you just a minute with forgiveness. Forgiveness is simply this. Forgiveness is simply saying, the thing that you've done to me, I am forgiving. I am putting that in the past. As the Lord forgave me, I'm forgiving you, and I'm no longer going to bring that up again. Now, you say, well, I forgave them, but then you get in a little conference with them later on, and you go, oh, let me drag all this back out and remind you of the time that you whipped me with the rope. Maybe you really hadn't forgiven them. When you forgive, you really release that person. You say, listen, I'm releasing your past from you. I'm releasing your mistake from you. How many has been released from your past by the Lord? Come on, anybody here this morning on Sunday morning? Come on, somebody say amen or something. If you've been released, then let's start with generosity of forgiving people who have hurt us, people who have wounded us. And we love to forgive. That's a part of generosity. I remember in our early days, we began to say, we're going to be generous to our community. We picked up little kids that were underprivileged all over the city. And we gave ourselves to them. We loved on those kids. We gave them money. We gave them food. We gave them our hearts. We picked them up. We loved on their families because we wanted to be generous. Here at the harbor, we've responded to all kinds of disasters, and from hurricanes to floods to whatever. It's not because we had to. It wasn't because we were wanting to put our name on something or we wanted to be in the newspaper. Matter of fact, we've tried to avoid the newspaper as much as possible for a couple reasons. One, they never say what you say. They're not very generous. And the other thing is it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And when you just do it as unto the Lord. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us a lot of times, it reminds us, don't let your right hand know what the left hand's doing. It's not about being known or being seen or being. It's about what the Heavenly Father's put in your hands, your time, your talent, your treasure that you're giving away. It's that spirit that we give things away, that we love people. And I remember sometimes when we were loving on kids, we really didn't have hardly enough money to put gas in the van to go pick them up. But God would always provide because we had a generous spirit. And there were times that I went out on Sunday morning and we'd crank the van and it'd be like, I mean, it was a wore out van when we got it. And I'd pray over that van. Now, Lord, just let it go these 10 blocks it needs to go and pick these kids up in Jesus' name. But God always made that van run. I don't know how it ran so long. Because God loves a generous spirit. You say, well, come on, it just ran. No, I believe God helped that old van to run. It couldn't break down. We couldn't afford to fix it. We needed a great mechanic to work on it every Sunday morning. We love to help single moms. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's really been burdening me with this more and more. Just not just single moms, but single dads too. Look, life is tough. I'm telling you, life is very difficult. If we don't have a love for people that are walking through the storm of their life and we don't have a generous spirit, I love loving on single moms and single dads. And it needs to be something that's not part of a program of our house, but a lifestyle that we live. We fed people out of this house. I'll never forget a few years ago when they broke into our church and they stole all of our cooking stuff. And it was aggravating. I have to admit it was aggravating. And I said, you know, really, somebody came to me and said, I can't believe they stole all the stuff we cooked to feed them with. I said, well, they didn't steal it from us. What do you mean they didn't steal it from us? I said, well, it belonged to the Lord, so they stole it from him. And I think he's big enough to figure it out. And if he has an issue with that, he'll talk to their heart and he'll repay us, because that's the kind of God he is. He's very generous. You know what? I feel like this sometimes. We get angry when people steal from us, but people usually don't steal. A lot of times, you know, we had our neighbor across the street from us. They come and broke in her house while she was there one day in her under her garage, and they stole the food out of her freezer. And she was upset about that, obviously. She had just bought a bunch of shrimp, and, you know, shrimp are not cheap, and they stole her food. And I got to thinking about that. Why would somebody steal food out of somebody's freezer? Probably because they were hungry. And oftentimes we can't forgive people because we get angry, we get upset. But the truth of the matter is, if we forgive them, we have a generous heart. Now, I would rather them just come ask me for food and let me feed them. My point is this: all of these things that go on in life is really about us being like the Father. We help plant churches. And, you know, I'm excited about Oasis Church. Oasis Church is just going great. And we're super excited about that. And we've also working with two church plants this year, one in Oasis Church in Austin, and then the church in Picayune. A lot of you don't know this, but we gave them chairs and we helped them get set up. They were 4 months old, and last week he texted me. He said, we had 150 people in church. Come on, let's give God praise for that right now. Because God has blessed us, so we give what we have away. Here's something I thought about when I was preparing this message. Have you ever been around someone who doesn't have a generous spirit? They kind of have hoarders. Hoarders really is a spirit of poverty. When you hold on to everything that you have, that's really a spirit of poverty, because what you're really saying is, I got to keep this because there might be a rainy day and I don't know when something bad is going to happen, so I'm holding on to everything I got just in case. You're really saying, God, I don't trust you in the storm. I don't trust you, God, when life is crazy. I don't trust you, so I'm holding on to this. And I'm keeping this to myself just in case. But when we are generous with everything that we have, we're saying, God, I trust you in every situation. Everything that I have belongs to you. There have been times in our church is more like looks more like a warehouse than it does a church. There have been times you walked in and there'd be diapers stacked in the rooms. And I remember sometimes Jason and I'd have the conversation, hey, Jason, why do we still have all these diapers, or we have all of this bedding, or why do we still have all this in the building? He goes, Pastor, we've given it to everybody we can give it to. I don't know what else to do with it. You know why? God always gives us more than we need. I remember trucks pulling up out here and unloading trucks and this massive amounts of food coming off of these trucks. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. But then we're giving it away. We're giving it away. We're giving it away. One of my favorite moments is during one of the hurricanes. I don't remember which one it was. And we were out here in the pouring down rain, and we had pallets stacked in the boulevard. And it was pouring down rain, and cars were backed up all the way up to the intersection, way up the highway, and we were blocking off the road, and people were coming, and we were loading the trunk of their cars in the pouring rain and saying, hey, God loves you. That was one of my favorite moments of my life, to be able to give away what God has given to us. We're going to keep giving. Listen, God's created us to be a river, not a reservoir. Listen, you heard me say this before, but reservoirs just collect mosquitoes and bugs and snakes and all kinds of lizards and stuff like that. Reservoirs, they're not, you know, where disease and all kinds of things are. But rivers bring life. Rivers bring life, and they bring hope, and they bring all kinds of goodness comes up and down the river. We talk about the negative sometimes of the river, but listen, the river is really a positive thing. You know that most of our cities in America, early cities, were all built on the river. It was a part of life. And when we have life and we have a river flowing out of us, it brings life to people around us. And God's called us not to be reservoirs, not to just hoard things, not to just keep them, but to give our lives away. It's a kingdom principle. It's the DNA. Grateful people are generous people. I'm going to say it one more time. Grateful people are generous people. The Father's DNA was to give his life so that others would be free. Our DNA should be give our life away so that others could be free. We say thank you. Appreciate it. I'm grateful. Recognizing that someone has done something for us. And as a recipient of that, I'm going to be kind to others. Now, everyone in this place has a story. There's not a single one of us that has gotten to the place that we're at alone. I want to talk to you today because there's some people in this room today who feel like, I don't need anybody in my life. I can do this on my own. Let me just help you. That's not true. You cannot do life alone. You were not created to do life alone. But it's not just about people helping you. It's about you helping people. You helping people is as beneficial to your life as people helping you. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And when God created us to walk together, he created a system that lifts you up when you're down and lifts others up when they're down. So it's a system that God created knowing that we would have days that we would need someone in our life. And we would have days that we would get to be the giver in someone else's life. Come on, somebody say that's good right there. Ungratefulness always leads to greediness. Selfishness always leads to, you know, stinginess. If you're selfish, you'll be stingy. If you're ungrateful, you'll be greedy. You'll start saying, even as an adult, mine, this is mine. This is my car. This is my house. This is my food. This is my money. This is my life. Truth is, it all belongs to the Lord. What is the key to success? To give first to the kingdom of God. Tithing is not just about supporting the church. You know, had someone recently talk to me about tithing. They said, you know, Pastor, I just don't think tithing is a New Testament principle. I said, you know what? You're exactly right. Tithing is a principle that was in the Old Testament and was given to us as an understanding of giving our first fruits. I said, in the New Testament, they sold everything they had and they gave it all to the kingdom of God so that they could all be common. Good. And really, that's how we should live. So we give our tithing because it's a principle. But tithing is really about saying, God, you're first in my life. It's not really about the money itself. Yeah. Right. If you make tithing just about money, it's like another bill. Like, oh man, I got to pay my bill. How many likes to pay your light bill? Come on, be honest. How many like paying taxes? Raise your hand if you like paying taxes. Somebody give me a shout if you like paying taxes. That's not a very exciting moment. How many love just when the year rolls around and all your taxes start rolling in, you know? They should move taxes to like July. Because you just finished Christmas and then here comes all the bills. Don't you just love that? And so you're being taxed and you're thinking about all these taxes. If we don't give understanding that tithing and saying God first, it's just a tax to us. It's just another bill. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I get it. I understand. I understand that there are times that we give to things and we don't see money going in the right places, or maybe we don't understand where it goes, and we can get all involved in that. But when we say, God, you're first in my life, and God, I trust you with my life, when we pay our tithing or we give of our tithing or however you want to say that, When we give it, we're saying, God, you know what? I trust you. And so I'm going to trust you with this 10%, or some people give 15, some people give 20. You know what? It would be more important that you give what God's put in your heart than to say, I'm just going to give this and this is all I'm going to give. I'm going to give, because if you start giving even like I'm paying my 10% and that's all you're getting, God, well, don't even give that because you got the wrong attitude. And I know that in times we've heard preaching that says, if you give, God's going to multiply your finances. Which is true, but it's not a, like, you give a dollar, God's going to give you 10. Well, I've given lots of dollars and then got 10 back. But here's what I've gotten back. Peace, joy, healing in the middle of the night, the love of God in my heart, connection with people, stuff that money can't even buy. You can't buy that stuff with money. You can have all the money in the world and not have those things. So how do we see the kingdom of God determines on how we give. If I give just because, oh, bless God, the pastor's going to get up here and he's going to go over the books and he's going to find out I hadn't paid my tithes and he's going to, please, I don't even do that. So, and I pastor people who haven't given a dime to the church the same way I pastor people who's given a lot of money to the church. But I'm just saying this morning, if we get in all of that and this becomes a business with us, we miss the business of God. What really tithing is a joy that God, you bless me with this. And so I'm giving back to you with no expectation except for to have your nature. That changes everything, right? I'm giving, Lord, not only am I tithing, but I'm giving of my offerings. I'm giving of myself. I'm giving of people that are hurting. I'm opening my home to people, God. Everything in my life is about you first. Everything in my life, it belongs to you. Let's talk about God's math. 2 + 5 equals what? Let me tell you what 2 + 5 equals in God's economy. The little boy had a couple fish and a few loaves of bread, a couple loaves of bread and a few fish, however you want to say that. And he took the bread and he gave all that he had. And he said, here, Lord, I'll surrender my lunch to you. The Lord took his lunch and he multiplied it and fed 5,000. And there were baskets left over. Now, I've heard some people preach that the 12 baskets were left over and the boy took home food to his family. They don't say that in the Bible. I just think that God multiplies. And when we give of ourselves, God multiplies it and he feeds people that we don't even know that we're going to get to feed. Right. Come on, somebody. We get to be a part of something that's bigger than us. We get to be a part of something when we give that's bigger than what we could give on our own. And that's why we do it as unto the Lord. Psalms 50 says this. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vow that you made to the Most High. Then call upon me when you're in trouble and I will rescue you and you will give me glory. Keep your vow unto the Lord. This whole thing of giving is like, God, I'm giving this to you, God. It belongs to you. And then when my time of trouble, you call on my name, I show up, I'm there. Because what? I'm committed to your commitment. Somebody say amen. Amen. I didn't write that. It was in the Bible. So we have this closed fist versus the open hand. You know, if our hand is closed, it's impossible. It's impossible for us to receive what God has for us. Our hand has to be open. Our hand has to be open to what God has for us. God wants to give to us. And we oftentimes can't receive what God wants to give. Here, I'm going to let you throw that. Can you throw a left-handed? So throw that up here to me with a closed hand. With a closed hand, I did catch it. With a closed hand, we can't catch what God's given us. You know why we miss what God's wanting to put in our hand? It's because we have our hand clenched tight around what we think belongs to us. That's good. I'm going to make my own life. I'm going to live my own. I got this in control. I got my own destiny in control. I got my own health under control. I got my own finances under control. I got my own family under control. I don't need any help from anybody because I got it all under control. and I'm going to clench my hand around what I have, and I'm not giving it away because this is my life. Truth of the matter is when we say, Lord, here's my life. You can have everything you want, God. It all belongs to you. We're not really giving anything. We're opening our hands to receive. His accounting is so amazing. He said, try me and see. Just test me out. Just go ahead and try this out. And I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing on you that you cannot contain. That you cannot contain. I started to go back and pull that video of Jason when he did the candy ring thing and the money thing and watch all the money falling. Because we think in terms of finances and we think of money. But what do you have that's bigger than money? Man, my blessings of my life is far bigger than money. My heart is open to all that God has for me because I'm giving with a generous spirit. My hands are open. Let's have a testimony service real quick. How many of you seen God bless you in the simplest of ways just because you were willing to give? Raise your hand. How many in here has ever outgiven God? None of us. None of us has ever outgiven God. And we see the miracles of God over and over and over in our life of God giving us his grace, his joy, his purpose. Giving is releasing his joy in us and through us to others. Generosity unlocks things inside of people. Generosity unlocks the kingdom of God in others. Generosity unlocks joy inside of you. Let me show you what Jesus did. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. You know why miracles are so cool? Miracles are so cool because Jesus did miracles so that people would see his love for them, so that they could be made whole. He was more interested in the completion of their mind, soul, and their spirit than he was their blindness or their deafness or whatever. But because he was generous to their immediate need, they received him. And they receive the kingdom of God. Oftentimes when we feed people, we're simply opening the doors to the kingdom of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you here today? When it's not just like, oh, man, I feel sorry for them because they don't have. No. I'm opening the kingdom of God in their heart. I'm opening the miracle of God in their life. It's so quiet in here this morning. Are y'all freezing to death or what's going on? I see stammering lips. 2 Corinthians 9. I'll finish since y'all are just about done. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. One thing that you won't ever find at the harbor is us manipulating people to give. We're not going to tie anybody's hands behind their back. We're not going to tell you if you don't give, you're going to hell. And preach a message on the flames and the fire of hell because you don't give. We're not telling you that God's going to put a curse on your life and you're going to be sick unto death if you don't give. I remember one time a guy came to our church. And I should have listened to my wife. My wife said, don't bring that guy to our church. I didn't listen. One of those times I should have listened to my wife. You know, sometimes the Holy Ghost wears a skirt. And he got up and he started preaching and he started manipulating money out of people for missions. And my wife was looking at me like, I told you. We don't do that here. Because here's the deal. If you don't give with a generous heart, God can't bless you. If you don't give joyfully, God won't bless you. If it's out of pressure or you feel like, hey, if I don't do this, something bad's going to happen to me, there's no way that God can bless you. But when you give because God is good, you give even when you don't think I'm going to get anything out of this. This is not about me. all of a sudden the blessing of God gets poured out on your life. What is the blessing of God? The blessing of God may just simply be that you get to connect with somebody who doesn't know him, and you get to introduce them to him for eternity. There's no greater joy than that in all the world. My wife and I are leaving Tuesday to go to Mexico. And I'm really excited. I'm going to take a minute to talk about this, and I'll be done. I'm really excited about this opportunity because as I feel like God just opened the door for this. Is that we get a chance to go in and minister to another people group. But it's bigger than that, because when I drove through Acuna, Mexico, almost 4 years ago, the Lord just put this place on my heart. And so we started sowing into that with nothing, no thought of nothing in return. I still don't have any thought of anything in return. The joy of getting to go to Mexico next week is not about getting something back. It's about giving away. But here's what I know. I'm taking my two littles with me next week, Heidi and Hannah. And I know that what I believe God's going to do in their life, money can't buy. Anybody with me today? What God does in their life, you can't purchase with all the, you can't send them to the best schools and get it. Money can't purchase it. You can't buy what God's going to do in their life next week. And when we raise our children to understand that generosity is not about getting something back, but it's about expecting God to do something supernatural, then all of a sudden it's a joy to give our life away. It's a joy to give our life away. So in this next season of our life, I want us to just to change. Y'all can come. I want us to change how we think. I want y'all to do that second song y'all did. I want you to think about how good God has been to you. I want you to start thinking generosity. I want you to start thinking with the generous thoughts. Like, I want you to just start thinking about where can I sow into the kingdom of God at? Let me talk about this. Let me just be honest with you. Let me just shoot straight with you. Everybody say okay? Everybody wake up this morning shooting straight? You know, it's a funny thing. You talk about miracles, everybody's jumping up and down. You start talking about money, everybody gets quiet. Sowing into the kingdom of God, sowing into his purpose, not just giving of our finances, but of our time, our talent, and our treasure, sowing into relationships, has the best investment of anything you can do. You know, we live in a world where our money and our thoughts about money is like, I'm kind of in that age where I'm starting to think about, like, how do I retire? Not that I'm going to retire, but how do I live when I'm old, when y'all are done with me? That's funny. How do I live when I get to this certain age? And I can go and invest money. I could go get stocks and bonds and this and that and the other. But you know one thing I have confidence in? That all the investment I've made in the kingdom of God is greater, and he will sustain me all the way through the end. Here's what his word said. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. What does that really mean? That means what it says. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Let me help you with that. We think in terms of big dollars and houses and land, and that's all mostly American thoughts. He's saying, listen, trust in me, and I'll supply the basic needs of your life. You put first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you'll have everything that you need. I'll add all the goodness to your life. Now, when we think about that, man, we want to just give our life away. It's a joy now to give, you know? And And it's just like we should give in the offering. Like it should be the most exciting time of our life when we write out our check or we pay online. You know, all the young people now, they pay online and they give text to give or however you give that offering. You should give that with joy. It should be like, I can't wait. I can't wait to give. Or if you see someone that's hungry, I can't wait to feed somebody. I can't wait to share this gospel. I can't wait to give my time. I can't wait. I'm so excited about giving with expectation that the kingdom of God is going to be multiplied and that the glory of God is going to show up in ways that we've never experienced before. And he's going to be a miracle in my life. So I challenge you this week. I challenge you this week to get outside the box. Not just to give your church, not just to give your tithes and your offerings in your local church, but to get outside the box and buy somebody's groceries. Buy somebody a cup of coffee. Give somebody some of your time. Sit down and listen to somebody pour their heart out. Take the talent that God put in your life and use it for his glory. Don't bury it in the ground. Give it away. And the more you give it away, the more you'll be blessed.